This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco. Wherever you go, you can hear KALW via our live online audio stream. When you click the play button at the top of KALW.org, you go straight to the programming you enjoy. Check it out on your phone or desktop at KALW.org. And if you've never become a member of KALW, make this the day that you do. Just click the Donate Now button at the top of KALW.org, and you can feel great about supporting KALW. And thanks. Everything you hear on KALW is made possible by listeners like you and by listeners like Jane Benson from Menlo Park. Thanks to all of you for helping to keep KALW strong, independent, and community-based. You're listening to 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and now we go live to the Swedish American Hall in San Francisco for Kamau Right Now.
Good people of the West Bay, please welcome W. Kamau Bell.
Yeah! Welcome to Kamau Right Now on KALW! Give it up for Bronte Espinel! We are live at the Swedish American Hall in San Francisco. Not only that, we are broadcasting live on KALW and streaming online to all parts of the world. I'm W. Kamau Bell. How you doing, everybody? And tonight we're going to do what we do. We're going to have some conversations, crack some jokes, try to find out some things, get into everything that's happening right now in the world, in our own lives. Sometimes these conversations are going to get awkward. On purpose, hopefully. Like on the last show when I had slam poet and filmmaker Jamie DeWolf on. Now, he was not technically a part of the Awkward Talk segment of the show, but things did get awkward. For those of you who need to know what happened and need to know what mansplaining is, just listen to our last show and don't do what Jamie DeWolf did. That's all you gotta do. My guest tonight is a journalist for the San Francisco Chronicle, Rachel Swan. Give it up for her. From the Fillmore Adult Gallery across the bay in Oakland, give it up for Nina Joyner. And lastly, comedian and co-host of my favorite new podcast, Politically Reactive, give it up for Hari Kondabolu. And you'll notice on tonight's panel, no white guy. We learned our lesson. All right, we'll do this. Somewhere Jamie's listening. Hey. We talked about it after the show. He was supposed to be here, but he canceled, so now he gets to be made fun of. Look, it's already gotten awkward again. I like that. And later in the show, we're going to talk to one Jesse Vargas, who came a long way to talk to us geographically and politically. Jesse's going to talk to us about why he has chosen and decided at this point in his life to vote for Donald Trump. No. Okay, get it out of your system now. Get it out now. Just do it now. All right. That's it. That's the last time we're going to boo. He drove all this way. He had no reason to come here. I don't know why he came. I appreciate the fact he's here. We're not going to boo when he's on stage. We're not going to Bay Area hiss. We're going to have productive dialogue with somebody across the aisle. I know normally you guys think across the aisle is like, or you don't use organic kale. We're going to go further across the aisle than types of kale we buy, all right? And we're going to hear him out and ask some good questions. And don't act like you haven't done things before that are awkward that you don't want to talk about in front of a group of people. That's what we're doing tonight. And since this is Kamau Right Now, we want to know what's going on with you right now here in the audience, listening on the radio or on Twitter. Maybe you have a question for one of our guests tonight. Maybe you want to talk about how you're watching the Olympics. And I'm just watching so much Olympics. I'm so happy the Olympics is almost over. I'm so tired of pretending that I'm watching the Olympics. It is exhausting. It is exhausting. Did you see what happened in the 400-meter? I sure did. Yeah. Most of me watching the Olympics is looking at events like, that's a sport? Really? That's a... All right, all right. What I mean to say is, yay, Michael Phelps. All right. Long story. So tweet us at Kamau Right Now using the hashtag Kamau Now. We have some big news coming from a Kamau Right Now alumnus. Today, the Justice Department announced it will end the use of private prisons. Yes. We did that. We did that. We did that. We did that. This monthly podcast did that. Hashtag not entirely true at all. But we did have, the article mentioned the incredible Mother Jones story by Shane Bauer, who was a guest on Come Out Right Now. He worked for 4 months as a guard in a private prison in Louisiana, and along with his wife were on our Awkward Talk segment last show. And now, thanks to his appearance on this show and Politically Reactive, the federal government's not going to use private prisons anymore. Yay! Is what I'm telling myself is what's happening. But now we've had enough talk. We got a packed show today. I'm going to hurry up and get the guests up here. Time to get the panel up here. I'm so excited. We've got some amazing guests to help us talk about what's going on in the world right now. My first guest is an Oakland reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. In the past, she was an alt-weekly music critic and piano teacher, and she's a friend of mine. Please welcome Rachel Swan! My next guest is a newly elected congressional delegate, award-winning pornographer, you don't get to say that every day, and owner of Fillmore Adult Gallery in Oakland. Please welcome Nina Joyner! Thank you, Nina. My last guest is Hari Kondabolu. Hari Kondabolu! No, you're over here, sir. Hari's one of my favorite stand-up comedians. I used to be his boss, and like me, he is totally biased. And as many of you know, we currently have a podcast together called Politically Reactive, and he has a new album out called Mainstream American Comic. Give it up for Hari Kondabolu. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thanks.
It wasn't court ordered. You could actually look like you wanted to be here. So I'd like to start out right away by finding out what's going on with you all right now. Rachel, do you have something you want to tell us?
All right, sure.
Okay.
The jig is up. I am about 4 months pregnant with my baby number two. Thank you. Wow.
I mean, we know each other. We're not super close, so I didn't know that you had one baby. So when I found out baby number two was coming,
I was gonna ask if you wanted to do play dates.
Yeah. You mean me and you are our kids?
I mean, in her world, that means something different.
Oh yeah, that's we'll let Nina pick up the adult play date later.
I got the diapers.
But no, yeah, we should do. How old is your oldest kid?
She's like 19 months. She's a toddler. She's like a grown ass.
You can say that. It's all right.
She's like a toddler.
She's like a toddler?
Yes.
She's essentially a toddler.
She is an opinionated toddler.
Yeah, that's what they get like when they're that old. My youngest is 21 months.
And her favorite opinion is no.
Yes. Yeah. They learn how to say no.
Yeah. Insane at an early age.
Yeah. It's surprisingly.
Even sometimes when it doesn't make sense. Like sometimes they just get in a no run. You notice this?
Yeah.
Like you're like, you want some ice cream? No. You want ice cream? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So baby number two. Here's the thing, Rachel. And I don't know how this. I don't know if this sounds. It's a weird thing to say. I never imagined you with kids.
Huh? Yeah. I know. It took until I was like knocked up the first time. I kind of never imagined myself with kids.
Wow. This took a really crazy direction.
Yeah. But it's like it just. I don't know. It just kind of.
How's it going?
It just happens. How's this one?
Yeah,
fetus?
Sure. This has gotten way more awkward than I expected early in the show.
Sorry?
I meant being a parent in general.
Oh, how is parenting? Can I just be real with you for a second?
Yes, please. That's why I let you real.
I find it really hard. I feel like, You know, it's like one moment you're single and fabulous. I mean, do you remember being single? I mean, yes. When you weren't single, but you've always been fabulous.
I mean, I wasn't born with my wife.
But like,
there was a 30-year period where we hadn't met.
But you know, it's like I had all these girlfriends, and it's I don't know if this is this is definitely not the experience of everyone who has a baby, but I found that like. Oh God, I'm gonna cry. It makes me kind of sad. It's like when I got pregnant with my first baby, a lot of my fabulous single girlfriends just kind of cut out.
They disappear.
Yeah.
You really find out. Yeah, you really do find out who actually is your friend.
Yeah.
And who people you thought were gonna be in your life forever just sort of disappear.
And no, I get it. It's hard, and it's like I have to make an effort too, and it's like it takes up. A lot of your time, you know, it's really rewarding. But
having a kid takes up,
it takes up like all of your time.
It's like Pokemon Go for you single people out there. It's like Pokemon Go having a kid. Yeah. It takes up a lot of time. You ignore everyone in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
You find yourself wandering the streets. Where was I going? What am I doing?
Yeah, yeah. So it's just it's time consuming. It's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of worry. I mean, I don't want to sound like a bad. Parent, but like
that's a good my parent.
Kid. No, but it's like my kid took a tumble down a few stairs the other day, and I felt like I feel horrible saying that right now. I left my attention for my, and this is just happens all the time. You know, it's like you turn and like your kid is tumbling down the stairs, and it's like, oh my God!
And then you call your kidless friends, like my kid just took a tumble down the stairs.
Yeah,
and my Wi-Fi is so slow. We all have problems. We all have problems.
Yeah. So
all right, well, and so Nina, you were at the DNC. I was also at the DNC.
Really?
Yeah, I was there for a day. Yeah,
nice.
I didn't see you there. What were you doing at the DNC?
Well, I was elected as a delegate in Congressional District 13. So yeah.
Wow.
For anyone who doesn't know their congressional district, that's Barbara Lee's district.
Oh. Did you pick that one? Were you allowed to pick the district you wanted?
I'm happy I live in 13. Okay. They haven't moved me out yet.
So, and what does that mean, being a congressional delegate? What does that mean?
That means really nothing. Especially in California, I think everything was decided. It really gave me an idea what politics really is about, which is nothing that they teach in American history or American government. And it's more than just checking a box, you know, I vote for this person or that person. It's definitely about relationships and who you know, what you don't know, what city or what state you live in, what kind of favors you can get. So it's really all over the board. But, you know, I just feel like now I can sell dildos at a congressional level.
This dildo has government approval.
Hey. Got a grant and everything for her, but yeah.
So, what's up, my friend Hurry?
Hi. Let's see. What am I doing?
Yeah. What's going on with you right
let's
now?
See.
What's going on with you?
We have a podcast together called Politically Reactive.
That's true.
That we're doing. I have a TV pilot that I'm working on.
Yes. Yeah. Tell people about the documentary.
Oh, I'm doing a documentary about a poo from The Simpsons. That's a thing that is happening. And I have an album out. So yeah. And then on occasion I sleep or I'm on Bumble, the feminist Tinder. So that's the.
Wait, Bumble is the feminist Tinder?
Yeah, I've read several articles that said that, yes.
How does that play out when you're on Bumble that feminism comes through?
Okay, this is why it's feminist Tinder, all right?
All right.
So after you match with somebody, I, as a man, cannot message the person. The woman has to message me first. Feminist Tinder. That's how it's branded.
And how is feminist Tinder working out for you?
I'm alone. Man, I got a podcast to work on and a documentary, and I got things to do. I got a plan worked. I got a backup plan if things don't work. And I'm adopting a kid in 2040 by myself, and it's all set up, man.
What did your profile pic look like? What did you wear?
Oh, man. I had one where I was wearing a suit holding a glass of wine. That was a mistake. And then there was... and I had another one, which was me, like, kind of looking to nowhere with the sun behind me. The problem is, like, that was, like, two breakups ago, so I was, like, 30 pounds lighter. And so that's, like, breakup weight. It's a phenomenon. Some of you know it, right? And there's a bunch of other ones. I mean, they're all cute. I'm a good-looking person. I mean, that's not the issue. It's just...
Hello.
This is a new development for you, claiming your good-lookingness.
Claiming?
Look, he's never been asked.
I just don't find you attractive, which is fine.
That's fine.
But I'm saying, but you didn't affirming your good. You didn't used to shout your good lookingness so much.
Yeah. But then I was like, let's just get the elephant, call out the elephant in the room. You know, like, I have good hair. People like the way I look. I'm very charming.
Can
I cook? I order out a lot. I do. I can make some eggs.
What's your favorite morning after breakfast that you cook for him?
So
anything with turmeric in it, right?
Yeah, turmeric. It's healthy for
yes.
you.
Yes.
This has a whole bunch of things in it. It's brunch. We go to brunch.
Take them out.
You go to a nice brunch. I like Rosewater in Brooklyn. Why am I mentioning a Brooklyn thing? There's a few
because you're hoping to go back and get free brunch there. That's
yeah,
what
all right. This really is happening. This is happening. I brought up. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine.
All right. So before we get to my right now, I want to ask everyone listening to let us know what's happening with you right now. Again, use the hashtag KamauNow to let us know. That's KamauNow. Use the hashtag KamauNow. So this show is set up so that we can talk about things that I feel like are going on in the world that we don't have enough conversation about or don't have a productive conversation about. And this week in my social media world, and maybe you guys can help me speak to this too, it's all about Nate Parker. Yeah. For people who don't know, I will catch you up on the details of this. It does a lot. This is a very thick thing that's happening. And so, if I don't get it all right, please forgive me. We'll figure this out. We'll get through this together. So Nate Parker is an actor and an activist, filmmaker and an activist. He has written and directed the movie Birth of a Nation. It is being heralded as part of the new wave of black cinema. Lots of people are excited about it. It's gotten a lot of Oscar buzz. It was sold at Sundance for $17.5 million, which is the most any film has ever been sold for at Sundance. It opens October 7th. Recently this week, something has come out, a case from 1999, where him and his roommate were accused of raping a woman. It went to trial. He was found not guilty. His roommate was convicted. He was found not guilty. They say a lot of the strength of that was on the fact that him and the woman had had a consensual sexual relationship before, which is a lot of that was why he was found not guilty. His friend served 6 months in prison, but then his sentence was vacated later when they tried to have a retrial, and the woman would not testify, and they couldn't find other witnesses to testify. The woman killed herself in 2012. She tried to commit suicide twice, and the third time she killed herself. And now this has all come out this week. And the internet is ablaze of this. So here we have the poster for The Birth of a Nation. And now in L.A., there's been things that have shown up like this, which is the poster of Birth of a Nation that an artist has put rapist on the bottom of. Nate has done a couple interviews about this in Variety, and he also wrote a Facebook status about it. This is an excerpt of the space. It's a very long status, so please check it out. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is not the whole thing. I just want to let people know. I cannot change what has happened. I cannot bring this young woman who was someone else's daughter, someone's sister, and someone's mother back to life. I have changed so much since 19. I've grown and matured in so many ways and still have more learning and growth to do. I've tried to conduct myself in a way that honors my entire community and will continue to do this to the best of my ability. And my internet is ablaze on people having different thoughts about this. This is a very difficult subject. There's many ways to get into this. But it seems like one of the big things this has come down to is, like, there was all this excitement about the movie and all this excitement about it being, like, a slavery story told from perspective of it's the Nat Turner Rebellion. So it's not the regular slavery story where it's a slavery story about a rebellion, about enslaved people fighting back. And so people are excited about this movie, but now this complicates it. And so it seems like people are saying, what is the worth of this movie versus the worth of a person's life, is how this has come down. What are your thoughts on this? I know that's a great setup for you guys talk. I'm going to go home and take a nap after that.
I feel like, you know, what the question is hinting at is, like, can we still watch this film knowing what has happened? And is it worth, you know, knowing this and still watching it? And the irony of it is the original Birth of a Nation that was made by Griffith. It was one of the really famous film, very racist film based on the book The Klansman. A lot of white dudes in blackface chasing white women. Like it was the fear post during Reconstruction.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was that fear, and that film was based on that fear. So the fact he named it Birth of a Nation, and it's another side of this story, it's taking it back. And so there's obviously irony right there in the fact that now this has been, I don't even know how to really say it. The question of, like, can you still see art knowing that? I'll say this is a person accused of rape that we know about.
Yeah.
There are lots of directors and actors, and many of them are men, and chances are, statistically, there's tons of rapists making work. I'm not justifying, I'm saying there's tons of people doing this, and we watch the films, and we don't want to know. Mm-hmm. We don't want to know. So part of me thinks you watch this film just the way I think people should watch the original racist Birth of a Nation. Because the original Birth of a Nation, you learn all these things about that time period. For a lot of filmmakers watch it because they learned all these editing techniques that were used back then. You can take something that is corrupted in a certain way and turn it into something that you can use. There's tools that are going to be in this film that are going to be useful in other capacities, and there's going to be tools that you get that you can use to make your own art. At the same time, this puts money in his pocket. So the answer is, I don't know.
Okay. Totally fair. Totally fair. What? Nina?
Yeah, so if you hadn't noticed, I'm black. And
that's for the radio listeners. That's for the radio listeners.
Yeah. So I'm black. I'm also a woman, and I also own a sex store. And so as a business owner, even speaking about this topic in public actually segues into revenue. Right? So many people may not speak, but, you know, I don't know, because again, I am black and I come from communities that deal with injustices in the justice system. So how do I know that this person is or isn't? I'm not saying anything about the victim, the woman who has passed, which I don't know her name, but my heart goes out to her and her family. But it also goes out to this person who has gone through the legal system, because they told us that we could fight. They told us that if you pay the right lawyer, you get off, you're not accused. But then still, you're still being accused. So I really, still, mm-hmm. I'm with him. I don't know. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Rachel? Yeah. I feel bad for you, Rachel, because you, that's what happens when you're a parent. Sometimes you're out of the news loop. And so right before the show, I was like, we're going to talk about Nate Parker. And you were like, I hadn't. And I was like, here, read this article. And you had to download all this information in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fresh.
No, but I get the gist. one thing is he hasn't been convicted of anything, and it sounds like this may very well be true what he did, but just from like a legal perspective, it sounds like there wasn't a strong case against him. We want our legal system to be strong. We don't want to assume that somebody did something.
Didn't testify against, I think, one of the defendants, and there was talk that she was being, threatened by associates of the defendant.
There was talk that she was being harassed, by Nate and this roommate and maybe a private detective or private detective.
Right. So I mean, we could the legal system, if it works, it works. But there's all these corruptions in society that don't let the legal system work, and I have a really difficult time not believe in an accuser, right? And that's really hard. And there's an article that is in Color Lines. The author, whose name I cannot remember, which I feel terrible about. Somebody tell me so I don't feel like I can't curse.
Can we have the social media desk look that up, please?
But in the article, the writer talks about being a black woman and dealing with what Du Bois talks about, the idea of double consciousness, the idea of that you can be two things at once. She is a black person. She is a woman. She knows how the legal system fails
black
people.
First of all, just be clear, she's the woman who was a white woman.
Oh, I'm talking about the...
The writer of the article, my bad.
And so she's caught in this place of where do I go and who do I support? And at the end of the day, she says, I'm going to side with the victim, and everything else, you know, is used to deny women. And so, I mean, it's a really strange thing when you're asking for allyship while you're also... like not being an ally.
But if you're, I mean, you know, one thing we were talking about backstage is people make important works of art or just important works all the time who are despicable human beings, you know. And that's one thing I noticed, like, before I came to the Chronicle, I was primarily an arts and culture reporter, just personal anecdote, and I would meet people all the time whose work, like, I admired, like, I won't say who they were, but, like, I admired so much, you know, like, in the hipster circuit or in the, you know, intellectual theater circuit or whatever. And then you'd meet them and you'd just be like, you are just a horrible, I can't believe you're on This American Life.
I feel like we're putting clues together, everybody. No. Hipster, intellectual theater circuit.
No. Just like, you are just a, not you.
No. I didn't think you were talking about me, Jesus.
Just like.
I'm clean as a daisy.
Like, you meet people all the time who are doing brilliant work, and they're brilliant, and they're horrible human beings, you know, and their values, like maybe they profess to have certain values in public, and then in private, it's like, they're totally different, and it's just like, you know, yeah, there's a question, like, do I still consume their work? But I mean, at some level, maybe you have to separate the work from the author.
I mean, I think you have the choice to do that. I think a lot of people right now are choosing not to do that, and I think that I support people's right to not do that. I think it is important. I have friends who don't listen to Miles Davis because he was known to be a horrible person. And then I'm in my house going like, but Kind of Blue's a good album to play for my kids because it'll get them into jazz, and then they'll be cool forever. And yet I have to respect the fact that, like, and then I go, what choice am I making by doing this? There's other jazz albums we can play in here. And I feel like there's also this question of, like, being a person of color, where we have a higher responsibility to either decide to back our people or not, that white people don't have. Because white people have sort of let Woody Allen just sort of come and go. Whereas as a person of color, I have to have an opinion on Nate Parker. I can't not have an opinion on Nate. I can't be like, I'm not really thinking about it, because then I look like I'm not thinking about this.
I've never seen a Woody Allen film.
Really?
Never seen a Woody Allen film.
Now, before we clap, hold on a second. Is that out of some principled stance?
I don't know. Well, all right. I saw like 20 minutes of that film, Bananas, and then I realized it was like white nonsense, and I just kind of... It's just white gibberish, man. There's like no people of color really in it. It's white. I can't curse. It's white nonsense.
Give it up for the panel, everybody. Give it up for the panel. There's more to discuss here. We will be doing an after party. We can talk more about this. If you just tuned in, I'm W. Kamau Bell, and I've been speaking with Hari Kondabolu, Rachel Swan, and Nina Joyner. This is Kamau Right Now on KALW live from the Swedish American Hall. Give it up for Brontes Brunel. So now we're going to check in with what's happening at our social media desk. Please, God, Becca, please help us get us something lighter than what we've been talking about. With what's been happening, let's see what's been happening on Twitter. If you got any good tweets we should look at, Becca, please give it up for our tweet wrangler, Becca Hoekstra, everybody. Becca Hoekstra.
Hi, everyone. So we actually have another kind of weird dichotomous question. So Usain Bolt won gold in a race the other day. Just won
just
another
won
one
like
just
minutes
now.
Ago too,
like, yeah, like, yeah, you know. Just
I care.
20 seconds ago. So there was this photo of him with this like great smile running by, and everyone else like looks like they're dying right behind him. And so Ellen DeGeneres put up this tweet This is how I'm running through my errands from now on. And she's like on his back. And, you know, that was kind of weird for a lot of people. And so she put up this, like, I am highly aware of the racism that exists in our country. It is the furthest thing from who I am. So now we have this split. So we've got people who are like, delete this racist garbage, or like, she's just saying he's fast. Nothing more, nothing less. And then like, oh, is he just saying she's fast? And then it's like vintage photos of black
people. A white child riding a black woman's back.
Yeah. Ellen DeGeneres is hilarious, but like, oh, have you paid attention to history? Being mad over something so damn simple. She's so nice and generous. She isn't racist. And yet she found it appropriate to post a meme riding a black dude like Ms. Daisy. So our good friend Kasim Bentley has asked the question, was Ellen racist or was this joke? Was this a funny joke and we're being too sensitive?
It's definitely not a funny joke. Like, if you're asking me, as a comedian, we can acknowledge that this is corny. Like, and also, I mean, this is in a category of art that is coined as white nonsense. And
oh yes, I've read about that in intellectual books before. Yes,
where race doesn't exist and a joke is just a joke, and I don't see color, so I'm riding on a black man's back. But I don't, you know, if you take the racial part away from it, oh yes, it's just a joke. He's fast. I'm riding him. I see he's fast. Yeah. But then you remember like 200 to like 1,000 years of history, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, this is a thing.
But replace the person, the white person, with a black person. What does it say?
If
a black person, if I was on his back, yeah. Okay. What does it say?
It's still funny. Keep going.
Well, it's still an unfunny joke.
Well, it's still unfunny. But I mean, do you think she should get the black backlash, the blacklash that she's getting?
The blacklash. if it's Ellen DeGeneres on the back of Michael Phelps swimming is what we're asking.
Oh, no, she wouldn't. Who cares? Yeah, white people can write white people as much as they want, Kamau. I've never...
So in my business, we just call it doming.
Oh.
That's it. Everything has a place. You know, she wants to fetishize someone. That's what you do. But hopefully they're getting paid for it. That's all I'm saying. And there's consent. Like the no, right? Like the baby's no, right?
Yeah.
All right.
This isn't the first time Ellen DeGeneres has done this. People keep giving her a pass. But if you remember last year, she had that sketch. I don't know if you remember because who watches Ellen here. But like... But
maybe not this room is the core audience, but she's pretty popular amongst the people who like white nonsense.
I mean, well, yes, I've seen her dance. So,
man, you were talking yourself out of a spot on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Oh no!
Don't worry.
And she had a sketch that was supposed to be Nicki Minaj as a kid. It was like, and she had Nicki having this huge...
People who didn't even see it are already like, oh no, oh no.
Like the child Nicki Minaj had like this huge butt, and that's the joke. And it's like she doesn't see like, oh, you're talking about black bodies. You're objectifying black bodies. And this is the second time she's kind of done that. So if she's aware of race in this country, why would she make that mistake again? Also, she had a campaign. I forgot which was... Macy's or it was some company. It was like a wardrobe line, if you remember. And it was like four white kids and one black girl, and one of the white kids is resting on the black girl's head. I'm not saying Ellen is directly responsible for that, but it's nice to, you know, connect her to things. Rule of three. You need three examples.
You need three. Also, yeah. So, I mean, also, she was one of the original producers on D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation. Nobody knows that, but yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Come on.
It's on Wikipedia
true.
Right
it's
now, because I'm about to go put it on Wikipedia right now.
So you're a prominent person, and you got a team of people. I mean, why wouldn't this woman have a team of people who tell her exactly what the hell is going on?
I can tell you exactly why. Because, well, it could be, somebody said they're all white, which could be true, or they're all black and don't feel like their job can stand them speaking up, is the other question.
They're not all black.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying. But
Harry,
a lot of times...
I know.
Harry, we've been in those rooms where somebody says something that's completely nonsensical, and you go, that's totally wrong.
But like, don't adopt a black baby. Like, you know, like Angelina Jolie.
People okay, talk right. about I was like, oh, you were telling me not to adopt
no,
a black baby.
No,
I'm like,
no.
I can adopt a black baby if I want to adopt a black
Like, I mean, your PR team should really tell you this. And I think if you're a part of Twitter, if you're a part of Instagram, these things should be known.
Well, it's also about, you know, how, yeah, it's about how you train your team to treat you.
Okay.
Is your team full of people who can pull your coat and go, mm-hmm. Or is your team full of people who go, oh, that is funny. Yes, you should tweet that out. Oh, God, I should start looking for a new job. You know what I mean? Like, it's like how your team is around you, what your team's responsibility is.
Got
you know?
It.
I happen to be around the Pull My Coat team who will, after this show, tell me things I got wrong as I'm walking out the door. I call them the audience. And I think that that's the thing about, like, and also to be, not to, to Usain Bolt actually retweeted it. So whatever it is, he thought.
You have to keep in mind, too, when you're rich people, the rules don't always work that way, you know, because they're like, when you're a rich person, you're basically a maniac. And you don't understand other people's perspectives generally because you're like so like you have money and you're elevated. It's not to say you don't deal with oppression,
yeah.
But it's to say that at that point it's like, oh, my good friend Ellen tweeted a thing about me, as opposed to the racial connotations.
Yeah. But what we reacted to, I think, even more strongly and viscerally than the tweet itself was the non-apology. You know, I mean, I think that was like,
yeah,
it's like everybody's. Not everybody screws up, but people screw up.
Especially everybody.
Everybody hits send or tweet when they shouldn't. You know, I mean, and like she's someone who's highly visible, but like obviously, like where she double or triple screwed up was the second tweet, right?
Yes, yes.
The follow.
Or if she was delayed, she would have had more backlash, right? I mean, it's something. It's like we're always not to say anything about this. I think it was wrong. Inappropriate, but I think it's always something. We're always finding something to pick apart, and I think social media gives us this platform to be somebody. We get to choose who we are, and hopefully our tweets are picked up by this famous person, and we feel good about that someone sees us, and I think people just want to be seen.
That's for sure, and there's also this, like you said, there's this want to get the joke out there. I think as comedians, we can relate to that. Like, something happens, and you're like, I got to get it there first.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you shouldn't get there first. You should get there third, you know.
I also just, regarding the non-apology, this is the second non-apology in the show, because also Nate Parker didn't really write an apology on that Facebook post. Both of them pulled real Mark Wahlberg moves, man. Those are big times. Yeah.
Now you've tied them to Mark Wahlberg, which is one of your favorite.
I just wanted to set up Mark Wahlberg, because Mark Wahlberg, I don't know if you all know this, Mark Wahlberg committed a vicious hate crime when he was a teenager and blinded a Vietnamese immigrant, right? He also was convicted also of a hate crime against some black students, and he was asked by Diane Sawyer doing Primetime Live a few years ago whether he ever apologized to that man, and he said, no, you know, I just feel like, you know, I've moved on with my life. I'm over it now. It's like, it's not about you, bro.
That was because he was wanting to open up burger joints, right?
No, it was before that. Okay. He's been a piece of garbage a long time.
Just so everybody knows, if you talk to Hari for more than 5 minutes at a time, he's going to tell you that Mark Wahlberg story. That's one of his hobbies. Do we have any other tweets over there, Becca?
I did, and then I just moved them. So hold on one second.
Oh, you
We have, so kind of talking in the same vein of diverse media, the Larry Wilmore show got canceled, and so people were talking about, like, kind of sad to me that so many people will talk, this is Ann Petey, kind of sad to me that so many people will talk about increasing diversity in the media, but then when we actually have it, they didn't follow through and watch.
They got canceled midway through their second season. That's another way they ripped off Totally Biased.
Don't say that out loud.
But isn't it ratings?
Sometimes it is ratings. I mean, it's ratings when they want it to be about ratings. I'll say that.
Okay. Okay.
I think, you know, I feel like it's hard for me to talk about this because it's I have a similar experience in another universe. But yeah, some things get chances to go through awkward stages and get chances to succeed, and some things don't. And ratings are a good way to point at something and go, like, I'll own my side of it. When we got canceled at Totally Biased, I knew our ratings were bad. Like, I knew, nobody had to tell me, like, there's a lot of conspiracy theory about, like, they couldn't handle blah, blah, blah. But I was like, I was like, I couldn't argue against any of that when the ratings were like three people. watching the show.
I watched it.
Okay, thank you for being one of those three people.
Yeah, but everybody watched it in clips on YouTube. You canceled our show. Sorry.
Look what happened, yeah. Talk about Mark Wahlberg again. Give it up for our guests, Rachel Swan, Hurricane Abolo, and Nina Joyner, as well as our tweet wrangler, Becca Hoekstra. We will have them back later, so keep those tweets coming at hashtag ComeOutNow. Now it's time for some music with Brontez Brunell.
Tiny pigment got a sad and sweeter things. Give me everything I'm wanting now. It's fine. Telling lies if it's said that it was right where I want everything to work. Well, I could think of a million ways. Look up by the wayside. I've tried. I tried to think of a million ways this love I could take wings and fly. You know it all feels incomplete. Affairs are steeped in fantasy. Gotta been so long since I'd felt anything. It wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right. Boy, I knew that I was lying when I said I'd see you next summer in England. Well, I think of a million ways. Love fell by the wayside and tried. I try, think of a million ways this love I could take wings and fly. It all goes.
Brontez Brunell, everybody. Again, I'm W. Kamau Bell, and this is Kamau Right Now on KALW. Well, we've heard from Twitter, but let's hear what's happening with the people right here at the Swedish American Hall in San Francisco. Please welcome our audience emissary, Jeremy Dalmas.
Hi, Kamau. How's it going? I tried to pick out some things that are a little lighter. We've had a lot of heavy stuff on the show. So the first thing I have is Matt from Walnut Creek is currently a karaoke superstar.
He's what?
A karaoke superstar.
Wait, a karaoke superstar?
Karaoke.
I'd never heard those words together before, so I was having a little... He's a karaoke superstar. Continue, sir.
Okay. And S. Shattuck, I think, from SF, just passed their notary exam.
Yay! I was a notary a long time ago. I was a notary. Give it up for the notaries, everybody. And now is the karaoke superstar going to sing about notaries? Is that how this all ties together?
Hopefully.
Okay. What is it? Anything else we got over there?
I have more, yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
Idrissa from Oakland says, I'm feeling all the hashtag black girl magic at the Olympics. Both Simone's, Gabby, track girls, plus Usain Bolt.
Yes. Just to be clear, I do that for my daughter. I play clips of the black people doing well at the Olympics. Even sports. I don't know what's happening, but they won. According to the results, they won. Just I do that for my daughter to see black people doing well. We just do that at our house. Let's watch black people doing well. That's a thing we have at our house every evening at 5 o'clock, right before dinner. Let's watch black people doing well. Anything else over there we got over there?
Yes. Juan from Alameda says, my parents now know my sister is transgender, and they accepted her! Exclamation point.
Whoa! So. Who is that? Who said that? Here we go. Where we go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Juan, can you stand up, please? Juan from Alameda?
Yes. Hello.
So, here we go. There you go. So tell me the story. Can you tell me the story of what happened?
My sister came out to me as transgender at the end of high school about 2 years ago. So there was 2 years where I knew, and she came out, but my parents didn't know, and she went to college.
Wow. And when did she come out?
At the end of high school, 2 years ago.
But when did she come out to your parents?
Just like a month ago, I believe.
Well, how did your sister do that?
She first asked me to talk to them, and I talked to them for a bit.
That's a good brother. That's a good brother. I need you to go ahead and just lay the tracks down for this. And how did you bring it up with your parents?
She had tried once, and they kind of didn't like it, so the conversation got shut down. So I think they suspected.
Okay.
And the next time I brought it up, and my parents were much more receptive to the idea. They kind of knew already.
Okay, so the fact that she brought up the first time sort of got them prepared for it?
Yeah.
And what does that mean for your family now? Like, what is that? How has that changed your family demographic? Family vibe?
I'm really happy for my sister and my parents. I felt like there was a danger, like, my parents might not receive it so well, and it was, like, crack our family in half. But now I feel like, you know, my family's whole again. I can come home for Thanksgiving. Won't be awkward.
Oh, give it up for Juan, everybody in Juan's family. Making family Thanksgiving a little less awkward. Thanks, Jeremy, and thanks to you all out there. Thank you, Juan from Alameda. Keep those questions and comments coming. We'll have our panel back later on. So if you've got something to say, ask or have a comment, use the hashtag #ComeOutNow. Now it's time for my favorite part of the show.
It's an awkward talk with W. Kamau Bell.
That guitar was more awkward than we expected. This is the part of the show where we get into the things that are on our mind that we don't always feel comfortable talking about, but seem to have no problem posting on Twitter and adding my name at it. So a couple weeks ago, I did the Chip Franklin show on KGO and KGO on AM radio. So I did what you're supposed to do on AM radio. I asked Trump supporters to call in. And that's how I met our next guest. I asked Trump supporters to call in to see if any of them would come to the show and be with us tonight to talk about what it is to vote for Donald Trump. And now I have my new friend. Give it up for my new friend, Jesse Vargas, everybody. Jesse Vargas.
All right, don't treat me like the minority in the room.
Slow down, sir. Slow down. Let's get it. Let's let him get to know you first before we leap right in. Because first of all, I do want to honor the fact that, where did you drive in from today?
Orangeville.
Wait, how do we know that? Is that in California?
Folsom.
Yeah. How far away is that?
2 hours.
2 hours.
Two and a half hours.
So first of all, he drove 2.5 hours to be here for no good reason at all, so we could all judge him. So let's honor that. I am not driving out to Orangeville later to talk to an audience of your people. So, you know, I have to appreciate that.
That's good.
And you live in Orangeville, but where were you raised?
I was raised in the East Bay, Oakland, San Leandro, Hayward.
So, yeah, all right, yes, Oakland. We got some Oakland in the house. So you were raised in Oakland.
Yeah.
Not exactly a Trump strong bed.
No, not really.
And I think what's interesting about this is when I asked people to call in, there's a lot of people called in and were like, rah, 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 but you were not like all rah, 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 rah. And you actually told me on the radio, well, just tell people, who'd you vote for in 2008?
Obama.
See, it gets complicated. So you voted for Obama in 2008, and now you're voting for Trump.
Yes.
So take me through the last 8 years of your life. And how you went from Obama, Obama to Muslims. Take me to the last.
Well, you know, most of my friends and family, my family's Democrats. Most of my friends are Democratic. And that was just the thing to do at the time, I guess, was vote for Obama. You know, just falling in line with the rest of the sheep.
So you voted for Obama the way that people, like, dance to a song they remember from high school.
Pretty much. You know, I don't even think I remember if he was a Democrat or a Republican at the time.
How old were you?
I'm 29 now, so I was, I don't know,
21. Everybody's like, is he going to get it? Is he going to? So I'm guessing that means you were 21 back then?
Yeah.
Was that your first election?
That was my first election that I was able to vote in.
And so when you went to vote for Obama, you felt like you were just doing it because that was the thing to do?
That was the thing
to
do.
Like if you're sitting around in Oakland and somebody passes you a joint and you're like, I guess I got to... you were just puff, puff, pass.
Well, you know, first black president, man.
And so what made you just... Now you're voting for Trump. Are you doing that because that's the thing to do?
No, not exactly. Not exactly.
Why? What?
It's more or less of, I can't support Hillary.
Okay.
To supporting Trump, you know?
Well, I have to admit, there's probably people in this room, if I know my crowd like I do, who feel like they can't support Hillary. Is that true by applause, people in this room? Okay. So I feel like we can take the Hillary thing out of the equation for a second. What is it, like, because if you can't support Hillary, does that mean you have to support Trump?
Well, I know my vote doesn't matter in California because it's mostly Democrat, but...
Good for you for being aware of that. We appreciate that, yes. If you were like, and now I'm moving to Ohio. No! Picking out some land in Florida. No, Jesse, don't go. Stay here. Throw your vote away on Trump here. Please throw your vote away on Trump here.
But, you know, other than that, it's like... if I vote for, say, a third party...
Jill Stein
Gary Johnson. Or Johnson, it doesn't really matter, you know, because it's not going to help support Hillary not becoming president.
But you just said you're throwing away your vote on Trump.
Yeah, you're right.
So
garbage man.
Does there anything? I mean, are you 100% Trump? Do you love him like he's, you know?
Not really. He says a lot of retarded, stupid stuff, you know. But
mate, don't use that. Don't use the. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not.
No, that's all right. This is an intervention.
Ignorant.
It's fine.
He says a lot of ignorant stuff.
There we go. I'll let you vote for Trump, but I don't want you to say it. I don't want you to drop the R word. The crowd will absolutely turn on you for the R word. You will see a lot of skinny bicycle messengers want to beat you up after the show. You will get a lot of tweets. But so he said a lot of ignorant things.
A lot of ignorant things, you're right.
So, I mean, like, for example, how do you justify the ignorant things he says with voting for him? Like, he has said a lot of ignorant things. If he's talking right now, he's probably saying something ignorant. You know
probably.
What I mean?
Probably.
So how do you...
But at least he's at least acknowledging the fact that us as people don't, the government doesn't acknowledge us as people.
Who's us?
All of us. All of us coloreds.
Oh, man. I stopped you at the R word. Don't say the C word, Jesse. Do you really think that the world, that America will be better? Let's say, for example, for some reason, he wins. Do you really think that America will be better with the President Trump in office?
It can't be any worse than Hillary Clinton.
Now, we talked about this.
Hey,
we talked about this. No booing. You drove 2.5 hours. Don't you think that because he says things like, for example, when he says things like an extremely credible source has called my office and told me that Barack Obama's birth certificate is a fraud. Do you believe, where was Barack Obama born? Just quickly.
Hawaii.
Okay, thank you. Don't you think that putting that guy in office might be, I don't know, crazy time cuckoo head Berg?
You know, it kind of is.
Like when he says John McCain, he's not a war hero. He's a war hero. He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people who weren't captured. Wouldn't you be afraid to have that guy in office?
He says a lot of ignorant things.
And you think
I can't deny that.
Okay.
You know.
But you still want to vote for him?
I'm going to. It doesn't help. But,
I feel like you're on the fence. Is there anything I could do to pull you off the fence to get you not to vote for Trump?
What do you want? Does it matter if I don't vote for Trump and I don't vote for Hillary?
I'm actually fine with whatever. As long as it's not Trump, I'm fine with whatever you do.
Well, like I said, we're in California, so my vote doesn't even matter.
Yeah, so can I talk you into a Gary Johnson vote? What can I do to talk you into a Gary Johnson vote? What can I do today to talk you into a vote for Gary Johnson? But or Jill Stein?
What is that going to do?
The same thing voting for Trump will in California. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing
but,
exactly.
But then it just makes me feel better. I will sleep slightly better knowing.
All right. I will tell you I will vote for Gary Johnson, but when I scratch the little dot, little square on the box, that's just between me.
So, but is there... Okay, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bribe you right now.
All right.
Bring us the gift basket. Bring us the gift basket, everybody. Phil Sergis with the gift basket.
Uh-oh, we got gummy worms.
Before the show, we had Phil surreptitiously ask you what your favorite things were by asking you what your favorite things are. And we have a basket full of your favorite things right here.
Hell yeah.
It's not Oprah level. It's more like Come Out Right Now level. So we have a new Raiders cap for you. Woo! A Raiders sticker. Woo! Some gummy worms.
Hell yeah.
More gummy worms. A very expensive keychain. That's a Raiders flashlight. And because your favorite artist is E40, we got you an E40 CD that you probably already have. Can I give you this stuff and you vote for Gary Johnson?
I'll vote for Gary Johnson.
Yay, we turned him, everybody. Give it up for Jesse Vargas. Jesse Vargas, everybody. All right, everybody. Thank you, Jesse Vargas. We just bribed a guy from voting. I feel like we've accomplished a lot. We ended private prisons in America, and we bribed a guy to stop him from voting for Trump. We're doing the big work here. And now let's bring our panel back on, everybody. Rachel Swan, Hari Kondabolu, Nina Joyner. You guys stay standing, stay standing. Now let's check in with Becca Hoekstra at the social media desk. Becca, what is Twitter saying right now?
So lots of people have a crush on Hari. This is DJ Agri. I'm more in love with Hari than ever. What should I do?
Well, Hari, I think the question's been posed. I think, first of all, get on feminist Bumble. Get on Bumble.
What should I do? Man, I don't know. This is a new position for me to be in.
You can't be throwing around your swag all like, look at how good I am. Look how sexy I am.
Well, no, because look, there's two things. First of all, I've always known the way I've looked. It's been a burden. But the other part of it is...
you and Mark Wahlberg have a similar problem.
Hey. Thank you. But at the same time, with my rising profile, I'm not used to being America's boyfriend right now. And it's just... It's just too much. I don't know what she should do. I mean, I think she should tell her friends to listen to our podcast and buy my albums.
The way to Hari's heart is through podcast downloads and album sales. Is the way to his heart. Anyone else we got, Rachel? I'm sorry, Rachel. What else we got, Becca?
Well, we have one for Rachel. Kind of, yeah. So at Zephyr826. Girlfriend landed her dream jobs, and now we're back to being dinks, double income, no kids. So, you know, some people...
That's a word, dinks?
Yeah, I know. I thought that was hilarious.
Do people know that word here? Everybody... No. That's just rubbing it in our faces, all those people with kids.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit rubbing it in our
faces. Do you and your wife...
Oh, sorry. I'm looking so we can become tinks.
Tinks. Triple income, no kids.
Fantasize about what you'd do if you had no kids. I mean,
oh, you mean that? You mean those things when the kids are like,
yeah.
Man, what if I had no kids right now?
Like, make porn.
What'd you say?
Make porn.
Make porn?
Yes.
Probably not. I gotta be honest.
I'll tell you from personal experience what you do. You'd wake up whenever you'd want to wake up, right? You'd eat whatever you want to eat, right? You can leave the house and there's no one there to worry about. You can travel whenever you want. You can cry and you don't need to think, oh, my kid saw me cry. That's so. You're allowed to be a full human again.
Yes, so
that's true.
I was with you up until the crying alone in my house. That seems sort of sad. what else we got, Becca?
One more from at Cynthia says, I saw this poop bag. Do you think Monty Short the dog would like this? Might keep him from eating poop. And it's a picture of Trump, and the bag says, make sidewalks great again.
It's amazing how hate is making him more famous.
It is making him. How do we feel in general with the Trump thing? Do we think, I mean, we just talked one vote away from him, so I feel like the poll numbers will reflect that tomorrow. Do we feel like that he's not going to win?
Yes, I think his points of view have already won because he's opened up something that doesn't just close once he loses. So it doesn't really matter. It matters if he wins or not, but we have a lot of work to do because of the damage that he's caused.
Yeah, it does feel like that he's going to lose, and then he's just going to fly off to whatever gargoyle he lives at.
Yeah.
Where he stares over New York City, and then the rest of America is going to be like, ah, it's going to be Lord of the Flies. It feels like.
I feel like a great example is he was in Maine and he was talking about the Somali population there and how they're a problem in Maine, and then he leaves the next day and everybody else has to deal with that for four electoral votes. He threw that out there. And that's what Trump does. He leaves this mess and this trouble, and then he goes away, and we have to deal with it.
Yay.
Believe me. That's what he says.
We're like
believe
his exes.
We're all Donald Trump's exes. Yeah. Hey, everybody, on that note, that's our show! I want to thank our wonderful guests once again, Hari Kondabolu, Rachel Swan, Nina Joyner, and Jesse Vargas. Thank you to the Swedish American Hall for hosting us. The Come Out Right Now team is Ted Muldoon, Dan Brandon, James Rollins, Jeremy Dalmas, Becca Hoekstra, Bill Circus, Max Jacobs, and Matt Martin. Music by Brontes Brunel. Come Out Right Now is a production of KALW. For those in the audience, stay with us. We got more coming up. If you're on the radio, you can catch the rest on the podcast. So go subscribe to Come Out Right Now, right now. I'm W. Come Out Bell. Thank you so much, and good night!
Sun for me, so I'll come. If you sun for me, well, I'll come. If you sun for me, well, I'll come. If you sun